Mikalakis, Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Maleka, Honorable Suleku, Honorable Dango, Honorable Ndongeni in the meeting, welcome. And a special welcome as well to the Deputy Minister for Justice, who's in the meeting and on the platform. I think the Deputy Minister for Leeds as well is with us. Well, I did see him earlier, but welcome to both deputy ministers to this meeting. Oh, I see deputy ministers with us.
Recording welcome. In progress.
On members in the main, in terms of today's meeting, we have two agenda items. The one is the briefing on the draft notice, determination of remuneration for Constitutional Court judges and judges. And the draft notice on the remuneration for magistrates. And the second item is the briefing by the South African Police Services on the Criminal Law Amendment Bill. My apologies, I'm not very well today, but I think the meeting can continue. I think in terms of the first agenda item, the Deputy Minister for Justice is with us. And he'll be briefing the committee on the remuneration of judges and magistrates. Let me then hand over to yourself, Deputy Minister. I understand that both Deputy Ministers, you have time constraints, so we'll try not to keep you very long in this meeting. But Deputy Minister Jeffries, let me hand over to you to take us through.
Thanks very much, Chair. Sorry to hear you're not well. Good morning to the members. Thank you for the opportunity to brief the Select Committee of Security and Justice on behalf of the Office of the President on the determination by the President of the remuneration of judges and magistrates. The determination by the President is with effect from the 1st of April 2021, that is last year, for the 2021-2022 financial year. The judiciary and independent constitutional institutions are entitled to such remuneration, that is salaries, allowances, and benefits, as determined by the President from time to time by notice in the Gazette, after taking into consideration the recommendations of the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers, or IRC for short. The notice by the President must be submitted to Parliament for approval or disapproval, whether in whole or in part. The Independent Commission gazetted its report on the remuneration of all office bearers, unfortunately only on the 30th of March 2022, as required by the Act. So usually this is done earlier. Unfortunately, they were late this year. The IRC, after having considered, amongst others, the submissions from the various stakeholders, the fiscal condition of the state, the state's wage bill, and the impact of the salary increment of the public office bearers on the fiscus, and the general economic status of the country as affected by the COVID pandemic and the affordability of fiscus, recommended a 3% increment to the President for all public office bearers. So that's not just the magistrates and judges, but everybody, for the 2021-2022 financial year with effect from the 1st of April last year. On the 26th of May this year, the President, after having considered the gazetted report of the IRC, submitted his determination in respect of the remuneration of judges and magistrates to both Houses of Parliament. The President agreed with the recommendation of the IRC and is intending to determine a 3% salary increase across the board for all ranks of judges and magistrates, subject to the approval of Parliament. On the 7th of June, the National Assembly Portfolio Committee approved the determination by the President, and it's now with yourselves as well. In terms of the IRC, the judges submitted that their salaries diminished due to below inflation or no increases of salaries, and referred the IRC to section 176(3) of the Constitution, which provides that salaries, allowances, and benefits of judges may not be reduced. The judges raised a concern that their salaries eroded, they felt, by over 20% during the past 5 years, and they were concerned that this erosion is unconstitutional in terms of the Constitution, sections 176(3) and 165(4), which provides that organs of state through legislative and other measures assist the courts to ensure independence, impartiality, dignity, and effectiveness. The judges propose that the IRC should consider the salaries of judges separately from other political office bearers. They recommended a cost of living adjustment and that the IRC should consider implementing progressive steps aimed at addressing the 20% deficit. And they wanted an increase of not less than 8%. According to the report of the commission, the lower court's remuneration committee submitted on behalf of the magistrates that the remuneration levels have been consistently reduced over the past 11 years and recommend for the 2021-22 financial year a cost of living adjustment to cover and make good the compounding and cumulative shortfall. And they wanted a 5.3% increase. So just that's by way of background in terms of the inputs to the commission from the judiciary. We, however, recommend that the portfolio committee, the select committee consider the notices by the president and approve them for a 3% salary increases for all judges and magistrates with effect from the 1st of April, 2021. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, for that presentation. Our members, if there are any comments and or questions that our members have with regard to the presentation, I think please give me an indication by the raise of hands function. I see Honourable Bartlett, your hand is up. Honourable Bartlett.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for not opening my video. Chair, I just want to find out and thank the Deputy Minister for her presentation. And the presentation is very clear. But it's just concerning the judges and magistrate salaries have been eroded over the years and the risk that this poses. We understand the seriousness about the economic conditions, Chair, facing the country. And we also should agree that with the President's determination, that the salary increment for all public office bearers, including magistrates, judges, and constitutional court judges, at 3% for 2021 and 2022, as recommended by the Independent Commission. I thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bartlett. Is there any other honorable member? Honorable Dodogo?
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm not using my video because I'm in the remote areas of the Northwest. Firstly, I think we must welcome the presentation by the minister in terms of the determination of the salaries and packages of the judiciary in this respect. I concur with Honorable Bartlett that given the economic situation that the country is facing, it is quite important that as we move forward and to increase the levels of the remunerations, we must take that into account. And I think under the circumstances, government through the president is trying his best to ensure that not only we comply with the law, but we ensure that this is done in order to enhance the situation of our judicial officers. This is quite acceptable. Just a concern, for the first time that the deputy minister is presenting to us without giving us a report. I don't know what might have happened today to the deputy minister for the first time. But be that as it may, Chair, I propose that a written report be forwarded to us or we be accessed the government gazette that has been issued so that we must know exactly what are we talking about in terms of this adjustments. From what amounts to to which amount and what does it mean? I think that will be for the benefit of members of parliament. Otherwise, I support the submission by the deputy minister, and I agree with the thrust of his presentation. Thank you very much, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dodogo. I think the government gazette was sent to members. There was an email with many attachments to it. It's possible you might have missed it, Honorable Dodogo.
Yes, but I didn't see it. I'm sorry for that. I didn't see it. Yes, but I will check it again. But I don't have it.
Okay, no, but we'll make sure you get it anyway, Honorable Dodogo. But that being said, all members, we have two members that are in support of the president's determination. Is there any opposing view by honorable members? I don't see any indication. Okay, if there's none, honorable DM, did you? I see you're silent, but you're waving your hand.
No, I was politely raising my hand physically, but I guess I should have done it virtually. It was just. If just to Honorable Dodovu's point, the Gazette of the 30th of March with the report was tabled in Parliament and referred to both committees, the Portfolio and Select. That does have April 2020 and what they are getting, or the proposed 3% increase, what they would be getting. So that is an information that you should have. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, DM. Okay, I think if there's no opposing view, then our members, please then allow me to table the two reports. The one with regard to remuneration of judges. Gershwin, okay. Okay, so I think this is the one with regard to the judges' remuneration and conditions of employment. Okay, in essence, the report of the committee reads as follows, that the Select Committee on Security and Justice, having considered the draft notice and schedule determining the rate with effect from the 1st of April 2021, at which salaries, allowances, and benefits are payable to Constitutional Court judges and judges annually for approval by Parliament in terms of Section 2, Subsection 4 of the Judges' Remuneration and Conditions of Employment Act 2001, referred to it on the 27th of May 2022, recommends that the Council approve the said draft notice and schedule. That would be our report on all members. If there are any comments, additions that you would want, well, okay, perhaps if you wish to adopt the report, if I can get an indication to. Honorable Bartlett?
I move the adoption of the report, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any second?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Dodogo. Okay, sorry, I was just looking at the chat. Is there any objections and or abstentions, honorable members? Okay, if there are none, then the report is duly adopted. We'll then move to the second report with regard to the magistrates' remuneration. It's on the screen, honorable members, and the report of the committee reads as follows, that the Select Committee on Security and Justice, having considered the draft notice and schedule, determining the rate with effect from the 1st of April 2021, at which salaries, allowances, and benefits are payable to magistrates annually for approval by Parliament, in terms of Section 12, Subsection 3 of the Magistrates Act 1993, referred to it on the 27th of May 2022. If you can add on there, Gershwin, recommends that the Council approve the said draft notice and schedule. All members, is there any mover for the adoption of the report?
Chair, I do move for the adoption of the report. Honorable Chair, I support seconded.
Okay, so we have Honorable Dodobo who moved seconding. I heard Motsumai, I'm not sure if I heard about it, but I could hear there was, okay, but Honorable Motsumai is seconded. Thank you very much. Okay, are there any abstentions and objections? If none, then Honorable Members, the report is duly adopted. Thank you very much, Honorable Members, and thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I think we are done with the first agenda item. Deputy Minister for Justice, if you wish to leave the meeting, I understand you have other commitments outside of this platform.
Thanks, Chair. If I can be excused and all honourable members.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honourable members, will then move to the agenda item that deals with the briefing on the criminal law. Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill. This bill was referred to, okay, before I do that, I know the Deputy Minister is on the platform. Gershwin, is the department as well on the platform? And the reason I'm asking this on members is because it was the second agenda item. We requested them to join us by 10:30, but generally the departments do join us at least 15 minutes before. Gershwin, if you can confirm whether the department is with the Deputy Minister on the platform, or if the department can confirm that rather.
Morning, Honorable Chair. Yes, we are on the platform, ready to present.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Members, this bill was referred to the Select Committee on the 31st of May, 2022. And I think as members of the committee, we should also note that the Portfolio Committee and Police, they made no amendments to the bill. I think without going into the details of the bill, let me also hand over to the department to take us through the presentation, also with the understanding that Deputy Minister of Police, you also have time constraints. But thank you very much for joining us. Deputy Minister, if I can hand over to yourself.
No.
Deputy Minister.
Chair.
Deputy Minister, your signal is not. Or is it just myself or Minister?
Good morning to me. I don't know. I think that it seemingly it might be yourself, Chair. My mic is acting, it's reacting. I don't know whether other members can hear me.
We can hear you now, Deputy Minister. Please continue.
I was wishing you well and also greeting members of the committee. The matter that is before you, Chair, is a response to a 2013 Amendment Act of the Criminal Law Amendment Act of 2013, Act Number 37 of 2013, which was making provision for the taking of buccal samples for convicted offenders. And it indicated that there will be a 2-year window period within which that should be done. And because there was no element of enforcement, offenders did not comply with that process. Some refused to cooperate because their buccal samples, once taken and analyzed, it might link them to other offenses that they might have committed without being traced in the past. So they did not cooperate. This piece of legislation we're presenting before you, it's to effect an amendment that will then allow police to continue to take Drupal samples outside the 2-year period because the legislation then of 2013 did not make that provision for the expiry of the 2 years. Once expired, nothing could be done about it. So you needed to bring in an amendment. So this amendment is basically to allow police officers together with correctional services to take buccal samples of sentences in there by including in it the element of enforcement. If somebody refuses, the authorities are allowed to use minimum force to ensure that people comply. That is the long and short of it. If you may allow, I could request Advocate Don Bell or Bilkis Omar to lead in the in presenting the details of our presentation. But that is the long and short of it, Chair. But for the sake of members understanding the full details, I will request that you allow them to make the presentation through you, Chair Omar and Advocate Bell.
Please continue, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister Moni, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Chair, the Deputy Minister has highlighted most of the issues. The purpose is, of course, for that you consider the bill and make recommendations to the NCOP. The team is led by Advocate Bell, and I have with me Dr. Jacobs, Mr. Ntwana, and Ms. Kritzinger from the legal unit. Chair, I'll hand over to Advocate Bell now. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Honourable Members and colleagues. If it's fine with you, Chair, I won't go through slides 3 and 4 because Deputy Minister has already covered those. I can start from slide 5. Thank you, Gershon. Slide 5. Thank you. So in terms, Chair, of the background and the formal requirements that were needed by us, the standard drafting processes have been followed in that notice was given in terms of Rule 276.1b of the Rules of National Assembly that the Minister of Police intends to introduce the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill 2021. And at the same time, Chair, a summary of the bill was published in the Gazette, number 45616, on the 10th of December, 2021. On the 20th of December, 2021, the bill was introduced and referred to the relevant committee of the National Assembly, as well as to the joint tagging mechanism for classification in terms of Joint Rule 160. The Portfolio Committee on Police published the bill on the 4th of March. The closing date for submissions was on the 11th of March, 2022. Submissions of comments were invited and received from the public stakeholders, and deliberations on the comments took place from the 16th of March, 2022. Chair, in the main, the bill was supported in principle not only by the civil organizations that submitted comments, but also by the political parties that were involved with the deliberations of this bill. The committee unanimously adopted the bill without corrections on the 4th of May, 2022. The second reading debate on the bill took place in the National Assembly on the 31st of May, 2022. So if we can go to slide 6, please, Gershon, thank you. We come now to the summary of the bill, Chair. Essentially, this bill consists of one clause with a number of sub-clauses. The clause relates largely to the current Section 7, Sub 7 of the Principal Act, which deals with the transitional arrangements, and therefore a new section substitutes the Section 7, Sub 7 in the Principal Act. Clause 1, Chair, this deals mainly with definitions, and this clause simply states that there are no new ones to consider in this instance. In Clause 2, A of the bill, this clause substitutes section 7.7 of the Act for a provision identical to the previous subsection 7, but without the limitation to the period allowed to take buccal samples of persons convicted for Schedule 8 offences. It was proposed, Chair, to move the second year, the two-year period from the section to avoid the reoccurrence in the event that further amendments were required. Slide 7. The proposed section 7A provides for the taking of buccal samples from any person serving a sentence of imprisonment in respect of any offence listed in Schedule 8 of the Criminal Procedure Act 51 of 1977. Chair, this takes place in two instances. One, before the release of the person, if the buccal samples had not already been taken upon his or her arrest. And number two, before the release of a person either on parole or under correctional supervision by the court. Then the following two proposed subsections, Chair, are new, and they provide for mandatory reporting processes. So subsection 7B provides that the National Commissioner of Correctional Services must report the prescribed information, prescribed meaning that it will be in regulations of Schedule 8 offenders to the National, next slide please, Commissioner of the South African Police Service at least 3 months before the planned release date of such persons. In addition, Chair, to also report on the implementation of the requirement for taking of buccal samples from the convicted offenders on a quarterly basis. So, Chair, this subsection will strengthen the Act by enforcing this provision to ensure that implementation is actually taking place and that it also ensures or enforces accountability. The proposed Section 7 sub C provides that the National Commissioner of the South African Police Service must on a quarterly basis submit a report to the minister on the progress made concerning the taking of buccal samples from convicted Schedule 8 offenders. Chair, this way the minister is also kept informed of the progress of the buccal sampling of the convicted offenders, and like the above provision, it will also ensure accountability. The current Act also provides the power of SAPS to take buccal samples from persons in terms of Schedule 8, and Section 36D1 provides for the obligatory taking of buccal samples from all persons suspected of having committed Schedule 8 offences and any other offences. However, this obligatory taking of buccal samples was not put into operation for the reasons that the SAPS were unable to comply with it. It has now been put into operation from the 31st of January 2022. So if we can then turn to slide 9. Then clause 2B of the bill proposes the insertion of, after section 7.7 of the Act, the following subsections. Chair, the proposed subsection deals with the enforcement of the taking of buccal sampling that was also referred to by the Deputy Minister in his introduction. We spoke about the minimum force that was going to be introduced. So subsection 7, capital A, provides for the lodging of an application by the National Commissioner of the South African Police Service to a judge or a magistrate for a warrant against a convicted Schedule 8 offender who refuses to submit to the taking of his or her buccal sampling. As previously mentioned, one of these reasons, was the reasons for the delay in taking of buccal sampling, that because some of the offenders just simply refused to submit to this process. So now these provisions are mandatory. Then section 7 capital B provides in order to ensure the enforcement of an obligation for the taking of buccal sampling samples that the authorized person assisted by correctional officials may use minimum force against such a person who refuses to submit to the taking of such buccal sample. Chair, just need to explain this a bit, this issue of the minimum force. So these provisions are within the constitutional bounds. The use of minimum force is not a new concept or provision. It is contained in the Criminal Procedures Act, SAPS Act, as well as the Correctional Services Act. If I may just provide a typical example, where there's a roadblock or an accident and the driver has been arrested on the suspicion of being over the blood alcohol limit and refuses to submit to a blood test or fingerprints, the blood test or fingerprints is taken forcibly by an authorized person, even if there is such resistance. Chair, with regard to the situation in other countries, a comparative desktop research was conducted and revealed that countries such as, and not limited to, Kenya, Canada, Australia, Germany, the Netherlands, China, Malaysia, and Japan also use minimum forces in these circumstances where inmates refuse to have buccal samples taken for DNA purposes. Slide 10. So subsection 7C requires the National Commissioner of the South African Police Service, in consultation with the Correctional Services, National Commissioner of Correctional Services, to issue and publish in the Gazette national instructions regarding the use of minimum force contemplated in the section above. This will clearly explain the, and prescribe how the use of minimum force is to be administered where such minimum force becomes necessary. Then subsection 7D provides that the provisions in section 32.5 and 6 of the Correctional Services Act 1998 relating to use of force apply with the necessary changes to the use of force requirement as provided for in the proposed section 7B in this bill. So the requirement of a medical examination, this is what it means, the requirement of a medical examination and treatment after the use of force and reporting to the inspecting judge of any use of force. And this will ensure that there is no abuse of this provision. And if it is found that there has been excessive force use, consequences will follow. Chair, and just to add that the current inspecting judge also gave his thumbs up for this bill, and particularly for this section as well. So then just to reiterate, I'm coming to the last slide, just to reiterate, the bill ensures that persons who have committed offences in terms of Schedule 8 of the Criminal Procedure Act 1977 and who are serving a sentence must have their buccal samples taken. And if the buccal samples had not been previously taken, so these provisions are only for those that who are already in prison. This means that convicted offenders who were convicted and sentenced to a term of imprisonment before the coming into operation of the Act in January 2015, and those who slipped through the cracks thereafter. Here, once this Act is put into operation, it will go a long way in solving cases such as rape, murder, and other violent crimes in relation to, and among others, the most vulnerable citizens, including women and children, as well as solving cold cases. Chair, this brings me to the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. That is our presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much. Advocate Bell and Ms. Mark. I think there's an echo. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Our members will note that the amendment bill is pretty short, and largely it's an amendment to Section 7, Subsection 7 of the Principal Act. Our members, it's time now for you to interact with the presentation. If you can give me an indication whether you have any questions for clarity through the raise of hand function. Okay, Honourable Bartlett, perhaps you can kick off, and if any other honourable member wishes to follow. Honourable Bartlett.
Okay. Thank you and good morning, Honourable Chairperson. Chair, I just have a few questions on slide 3. Why were the subs not able to complete the process of taking the vehicle samples? And what measures have been put in place to ensure that proper training has been provided to officials in respect of the taking of vehicle samples? And Chair, secondly, why did it take 5 years to remedy this matter in the legislation? And what has the impact been in terms of the inability of subs to take vehicle samples? Thirdly, Honourable Chairperson, what number of vehicle samples were taken by the subs from Schedule 8 offenders during the two-year transitional period from January 2015 to January 2017? And lastly, Honourable Chairperson, what number of Schedule 8 offenders have been released since January 2017 without any of the DNA samples being taken? Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bartlett. Any other honorable member, if you want any, if you have any questions for clarity? Okay, if there's none, then perhaps from my side, and just perhaps to add to what the questions that Honorable Bartlett has raised with regard to the Schedule 8 offenders, maybe also an indication of what percentage of Schedule 8 offenders have refused to have their buccal samples taken to date. And I think in terms of your slide 9 with regard to minimum force, you have provided an explanation to this, but you've also indicated that it is what is meant by minimum force, and but you've also indicated that it's contained in legislation. Perhaps you can also just indicate how is it currently being monitored, or how will it be monitored? And my final question is around the costing of the bill and whether there would be sufficient budget for the proper implementation of the bill. I think those are the questions from our side. If I can then hand over to you, Deputy Minister, or the team, to perhaps take us through the responses. Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair. The reason for the delay has been that there was a view that was saying that we should have all South Africans' buccal sample taken, and this was going to be driven by Home Affairs. But this debate delayed because there were no consensus around this, not necessarily within cabinet, but within the broader South African community. And I think it's a matter that as we speak, it has not been fully resolved. But we therefore took a decision that we can't wait for until the resolution of that outstanding matter. We should proceed at SAPS to do this because it is a challenge. If we don't do this, he said there's an opportunity for us to take buccal samples of those who are in our custody. And that will help in the fight against crime, because in the main, it's not the whole community that is involved in criminal activity. It's a particular number of individuals that are involved, and most of them are in prison. So we then proceeded as is, and that's why ultimately we are before you at this hour. Of course, we should have reacted promptly immediately after the expiry of the 2 years to make an amendment so that we are able to carry on with those that we were not able to take in prison. With regard to people who are taking the samples, there are specific officers who will be doing that. It's not everybody who is going to do that, and they are trained for that particular role. I will then ask through you, Chair, that the team on the platform assist with the further details around some of the issues that were raised by members. If you may allow, I will ask Ms. Omar and Advocate Bell and other members that are with them who can assist in clarifying some of the issues that were raised by members. Thank you.
Thank you, DM. Please continue.
Thank you, Chair. Advocate Bell and Dr. Jacobs will respond to the questions.
Thank you, Chair. I'll speak to the issue of minimum force. Chairperson, in the South African Police Service Act, there's a provision that says that any police officer who has to exercise force in terms of the executing of his or her functions must do so with the minimum force, and I think what's important as well, reasonably required in the circumstances. In other words, It is not something that can be really defined. There are different circumstances. But if we look, for example, to the issue of taking a buccal sample, it is basically just putting a swab into a person's mouth and get the sample of the saliva, and that is adequate. So you can imagine that the minimum force in those circumstances will really not be accessible. There was also the question on how is it being monitored. We have the inspecting judge in correctional services, and whenever minimum force is used in terms of the Correctional Services Act, and remember the police officers who will take these buccal samples will do it in a correctional services facility. They, whenever, and there must be correctional services officers present when the buccal sample is taken. So whenever any force is being used, it must be reported to the inspecting judge. And that inspecting judge is then able to investigate whether it was within the bounds of what was reasonably required in the circumstances. I think that should address the issue, Chair. And as Advocate Bella said, this is something that's in the Police Service Act, it's in the Correctional Services Act, and within the context of a correctional services facility, the necessary checks and balances are there to actually check this. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, if I may come in here, with regards to the financial implications, Chair, this issue was discussed at length with SAP, and they provided us with the figures that it would cost, and it's all contained in our CAB memo. It's an amount of just over 78 million rand, and so those were provided by SAPS themselves to say this is how much it's going to cost to implement, what the budget will cost to implement this, this act. Then with regards to the numbers that the numbers that we were provided with of convicted Schedule 8 offenders who were released from the date of the bill coming the act coming into operation, were 96,875 convicted offenders that were released from prison. Those are the numbers that we have, Chair, and that's my contribution to the questions. Thank you.
Are there any other
responses? Thank you, Chair. Unless if we might have missed some question, we can be reminded, Chair.
Okay, no, I think largely it's covered. There's just other specifics, but I don't think it could be very important for now. Given that this is our first engagement on this bill, Deputy Minister, and we will continue engaging on it. But let me thank you and thank the department for your presentation as well as your responses. Thank you very much. And honourable members, we will also proceed to publish the bill for public comment. And I think after the recess period, Deputy Minister and honourable members, we will meet as a committee then to receive departmental responses to comments that we might have received on the call. With that being said, thank you very much, and on members, Deputy Minister, I think we should also release you, given that you have other commitments. But thank you very much all, and I think we've exhausted the agenda, and this meeting has come to its finality. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Sheikh. Get well soon,
thank you, Sheikh. Chair.